Prospero's Staff, A Utopia, by Thomas White. Chapter 1. The young woman bossed for air so violently that action shook her body awake. She was so dizzy, she barely managed to avoid throwing up. She opened her eyes, pitch black, and not just any darkness, the black from her nightmares. Cold, demonic. What the fuck is going on? Fear and confusion flooded through her. Where am I? How did I get here? Her heart pounded so hard her chest hurt. Get a grip! You need to calm down. Her mind was wrapped in a thick fog. She fought to clear her head. Not only did she fail, she was sinking into unconsciousness again. She began to panic. Snap out of it. Someone might be drawing a bead on you. Don't move. Stay still and assess. She took a deep breath and forced herself into professional mode. No apparent wounds. Terrible headache. Feels like a hot poker right behind my eyes. She moved her arms and legs. Nothing's broken. Good. But I'm freezing. And the way the air's moving against my face feels odd. She paused and focused. Fuck! Am I falling? Spit! The moisture immediately came back in her face. Crap! Yell! She counted the seconds. No echo. She tried again. No sound of any sort. Absolute silence. She gulped. Spit again. Harder this time. The moisture barely got out of her mouth. She attempted to turn over, or at least move enough so she could look behind her. There was nothing to press against. Crap. Definitely falling. Falling in pitch black, silent darkness. What's happening? Her mouth went dry. Stay calm. Assess. Where am I? How'd I get here? Her mind was a blank. She peered into the blackness, desperately searching for even a spark of light. Anything that would give her a clue. Instead, the dark void tightened its grip. Severely claustrophobic. She couldn't stop feeling she was imprisoned in something she would never escape from. Her heart raced. Her breathing quickened. Her body started shaking. The all-too-familiar cold sweat broke out. A full-scale panic attack was building. You know how to handle this. Focus. Breathe. You're okay. You aren't hurt. It's just darkness. As she fought to keep the anxiety at bay, she ordered herself to get as much information about her situation as she could. Identify details. It'll help you concentrate and clear your head. Okay. Slacks. Short sleeve jersey. No watch. Wearing one shoe. Why only one? She moved her arms and legs and discovered that her body felt steadier if she kept them extended. This reminded her of something. She couldn't recall what. A tiny white dot appeared in the distance. Her heart raced, with excitement this time. A way out. She relaxed and concentrated on the dot and the breeze against her face. They were linked. She focused on the spot of light. As it became a circle, the breeze strengthened. Feels familiar. Good. Still can't remember why. Figure it out. Put everything together. Lying down, no resistance. Arms and legs extended. Wind. The circle's getting bigger, faster, really bigger, really faster. It was like being shot out of a cannon. Brilliantly white light surrounded and blinded her. The powerful wind's roar replaced the silence and deafened her. Its force buffeted her and made it impossible to keep her eyes open. She struggled to hold her position and open her eyes. Blue! That sky! A memory burst through with such force, it burned away any remaining fog clouding her brain. Shit! Skydiving! She instinctively ran her hands over her body, desperately searching for parachute straps, even though she knew there weren't any. Shit! 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 Her mouth went dry. Assess! Where am I landing? She squinted, battling against the wind distorting her face. Blue-gray and white. Water and sand. A beach. Looking at the land racing towards her, she did a quick calculation. 1,200 yards. 15 seconds. Fuck! She shuddered and gulped. At least it'll be quick. She resigned herself to the inevitable. She was stunned at how calm she felt. Bracing for impact felt silly, but she did it anyway. She closed her eyes and held her breath just before she hit the sun-kissed beach, with zero force. 1 second, she was plummeting towards her demise. The next, she was lying face down, her frigid body cradled by warm sand. I'm alive. She was stunned. What the fuck? It makes no sense, I'm not roadkill. Was it a dream? Did I fall asleep on a beach? She sat up and quickly scanned her surroundings. No obvious threats. A typical beach. She relaxed. She checked her body for injuries. Whatever happened, it wasn't hitting the ground at 150 mph. She surveyed her environment again, meticulously this time. The place looked familiar, yet different. It was a beautiful, warm summer day with a welcome breeze. The beach of white sand was about 50 yards wide. It was bordered on one side by the ocean, and on the other by steep dunes about 20 yards high. The fresh salt air and the heat of the sun felt comforting after the hostile, frigid darkness. The sky was gorgeous blue, with a few white, puffy clouds. The ocean was calm, and the waves gently rolled up towards her. She looked down the beach. The air was remarkably clear. The closest beachgoers were at least half a mile away. But the air so was transparent. She could make out the intricate designs on the beach umbrellas with ease. She spotted a couple dressed alike in tan shorts and brilliantly scarlet jerseys. She chuckled. Holding hands, smiling, matching outfits. Honeymooners. She was struck by the details she could make out. On their clothing, on their faces. If she knew how to lip read, she could have understood what they were saying. She took a deep breath and was stunned. Remarkable! She took another breath. How is breathing so energizing? Okay. Enough lollygagging. I've got to get there as soon as I can. She stood up and brushed the sand off. She felt dizzy, but knew it was important to get there. Feeling awkward with only one shoe on, she kicked it off and started walking barefoot. She stopped mid-stride. Get where? She closed her eyes and thought. I can't remember. She surveyed the area, looking for any detail that could help. She frowned. This is familiar, but it's not. I'm not sure where I am. Shit! A wave of confusion swept through her. Feeling even more unsteady on her feet, she sat back down on the sand. Staring at the smooth blue water helped her focus. Think. What do I know? I popped out of freezing blackness, fell 1,200 yards without a parachute, and survived. Which is impossible. What do I remember before the darkness? How did I get there? She cleared her mind, concentrated, and waited for the answer. Nothing. She took a deep breath and focused. Still nothing. Lie down. You must have been injured and passed out. You're experiencing some sort of trauma. Close your eyes and relax. Give it a few minutes. You'll be okay. The rhythmic sounds of the waves, the singing of the gulls overhead, and the fresh sea air helped. So did the warmth of the sun. The stark contrast called to mind just how cold and terrifying the blackness had been, however, and she shivered. At least the headache is fading. You're safe, uninjured. No one's better than you in a crisis. Trust your training, get centered. Then attack the problem. The rich scents of the ocean air were familiar, comforting and relaxing. She took a deep breath, let it out, and relaxed. A woman's friendly voice startled her awake. Are you okay? She'd either been more injured than she knew and passed out, or she'd relaxed so much she'd fallen asleep. She opened her eyes to see the couple she'd spotted earlier. Sitting beside her to her left was a beautiful black woman with a shaved head. The sunlight accentuated the golden flecks in the woman's light brown eyes so much they virtually sparkled. To her right was a bronze-skinned man sitting cross-legged. He had long, straight black hair and high cheekbones. His dark brown, almond-shaped eyes were intense and penetrating. The honeymooners. She sat up abruptly. I'm sorry. The woman's voice was warm and soothing. I didn't mean to upset you. Her accent was almost musical. She spoke surprisingly slowly, as though to a child. No problem. She struggled to wake up and to decide what to say to the two strangers. I guess I dozed off. The couple exchanged a quick, surprised look. The sun is strong today, and we don't see any sunscreen. The woman held out a green tube. Do you want to borrow ours? The fastest way to get rid of them is to act like a local. Put the lotion on. She took the tube and quickly applied it to her arms and face. Thanks. I guess I forgot mine. She handed it back. Enjoy your day. You too. By the way, the woman stuck out her hand. I'm Osumare. Damn. A chatty Kathy. Be polite, but don't encourage her. That's a beautiful name. Thank you. As she took the woman's hand, the man from the other side offered his hand with a big smile. And I'm Massasoit, his voice a deep bass. Turning his way, she was befuddled at what she was supposed to do. She took his hand with her other hand and shook both at the same time. They all laughed at their pretzel-like configuration as they let go and untangled. She noticed that each of her new companions had one arm decorated with tattoos running from wrist to shoulder. The designs were similar, but not identical. And you are? The man asked. I'm, she responded automatically, then stopped, her mouth open. It was a proverbial tip of the tongue moment. The word she wanted was just out of reach. She ran her hand through her short blonde hair and chuckled at the idea she couldn't remember her own name. At first, it was as though her name was just about to bubble up. But the harder she tried, the deeper it retreated. Fear gripped her. She felt weak all over. Something's wrong. Seriously wrong. Your brain isn't working. You can't remember your name. You've been drugged. You obviously hallucinated falling from the sky without a parachute. The effects are only going to get worse. You need to find a hospital. Make an excuse and leave. A line of perspiration formed on her forehead. Her breathing picked up more than a tick. I'm late for an appointment. She struggled to stand up, then brushed herself off. I'm sorry. It was lovely to meet the two of you. You're a cute couple. Congratulations. Thanks for the sunscreen. Enjoy this beautiful day. Despite her inner turmoil, she tried to be a model of grace and courtesy. But she was aware she was prattling. Osumare looked up at her. You don't know your name, do you? It was more a statement than a question. Why don't you sit back down? You've been through a lot. We want to help. We assist. Her face was earnest and showed concern. Outwardly, she kept her composure. Internally, her mind was racing. You've got to get out of here. They know who you are, but you don't. They know what's going on. If they were friendlies, they would have told you what's happening. It wouldn't have been, you don't have any sunscreen. She scanned the area as casually as she could, looking for the straightest escape. There are two of them, and they're fit. Damn. How do I lose them both? The more difficult her situation seemed, the faster her heart raced. Please, Massasoit added gently, leaning back and looking up at her. You don't know where you are or where to go. As Osumare said, we just want to help. We assist. His relaxed demeanor was reassuring. One final look down the beach told her escaping was impossible. She wasn't steady on her feet. Outrunning them was out of the question, even if she knew where she was going. If nothing else, humoring them gave her more time. If she was lucky, she could find out what was going on. She hated being in such a weak position. Her chest tightened as she sat back down facing the two of them. She took a deep breath. No, I don't know my name. But obviously you do. Actually, we don't, said Massasoit, who was now glancing towards the part of the beach they'd come from. All we know is that you're suffering from cognitive disorientation and retrograde amnesia, which is only temporary, Osumare added. Caused by... Massasoit stood up, looked at Osumare, and directed her attention down the beach. We'll tell you everything we know. But right now, it's better to do this in private. His tone and the way he held himself gave off an air of authority. He was no longer a simple honeymooning beachgoer. Please. He extended his hand. We assist. Respecting the urgency in his face, she let him help her up. As they began walking, away from whatever Massasoit had seen, she realized how unsteady she was. She also noticed just how strong her two taller companions were. One on either side of her, with no apparent effort, they supported her, so it wouldn't be obvious to anyone watching how weak she was. They walked close to the ocean. Given their brisk pace, she knew it was because the footing in the cool, dark, wet sand was better than on the hot, white powder closer to the dunes. Taking her measure of the situation, she held back on her questions. Conversation, even if her companions would engage, would only slow them down. When they got opposite an opening in the dunes, they turned and headed across the wide beach for it. The other side of the dunes was forested, populated mainly with large maple trees at least 80 yards tall. The shade from the trees and a light, cool breeze provided a welcome relief from the heat. They stepped onto a wooden walkway about 100 yards long. It led from the beach to a small building. The sign in front simply said, Assistance. She pointed to it. You're lifeguards? We assist. Massasoit spoke as though he was explaining something to a child. She looked away, so he couldn't see her roll her eyes. Let it go. There's no point in alienating anyone yet. It was a two-story octagonal structure. There was so much glass, she had trouble figuring out what held everything together. A large deck jutted out of the second level and went around the whole building. Someone dressed like Osumare and Massasoit was looking towards the ocean. The deck was obviously high enough for him to see over the dunes. When the man turned their way, she noticed he wore what looked like a pair of large sunglasses. But there was a solid piece of black metal across the front instead of lenses. He smiled and waved. "That's got to be opaque. How can he see us?" Her companions waved back. "Blend in. Be friendly." She waved to him as well. His smile abruptly disappeared. He crossed his arms and glowered at her as she approached the entry. "Okay, so maybe the locals aren't so friendly." The first floor was basically one large room. It looked like a cozy family living room. It was divided into a series of sitting areas consisting of overstuffed, tan chairs and brilliantly colorful area rugs. The bright light streaming through the glass made everything look warm and inviting. Many of the glass panels were open and a cool breeze flowed through. Right now, the three of them were alone in the room. She followed her companions and they all sat down. As she sank into the chair, she was struck by how comfortable it was. It was as though the chair fashioned itself to her form. The relief she felt at being off her feet told her that whatever her body had been put through, it was serious. "Can we get you anything? Tea? Coffee? Water?" Osumar leaned forward. She removed a small, thin, green rectangle stuck to the inside of her wrist and placed it on the table between them. She stared at it for a few seconds. "Thanks. Water sounds great." Massasoit headed to the other side of the room. "How about some answers as well? Like, shouldn't I go to a hospital? I apparently hallucinated that I fell 1,200 yards without a parachute, and I can't remember anything." "We'll take you to a medical facility when you've gotten some rest, but your initial scan says you're okay. No broken bones or brain damage. The amnesia will be temporary." "Scan? What scan? Did I black out and they scanned me?" At that moment, Massasoit returned and handed her a bottle of water. The glass was so pristine, it literally sparkled. She welcomed how chilled it was and downed it immediately. She was struck by how clean and fresh it tasted. She examined the bottle. "No brand. Just a logo I don't recognize. How can plain water taste so good? We know this is difficult, and we'll be happy to answer all your questions," he said. "We have no reason to be anything but completely honest with you. We don't lie. But it's important that you start by telling us everything you can remember. This kind of amnesia is tricky. Important details may fade. It's like what happens with dreams. Everything's clear when you wake up, then it gets fussy or disappears altogether." Everything about the bronze-skinned man sitting opposite her said he was trying to be helpful and supportive. His open posture, the concern in his face. "Your best strategy to get more information is to cooperate." She nodded and settled back into the chair. She closed her eyes and took a deep breath. She recounted everything in precise detail. Coming to, the blackness, the dot and the breeze, not knowing where she was or how she got there. Emerging into the light, plunging, lying on the sand, looking around, getting up to go somewhere, realizing she didn't know where. Sitting back down, meeting them. She opened her eyes and laughed nervously. "And not having a clue who I am or how I got here. I think we can at least start to help with that." Osumare looked at her partner, who nodded in agreement. "Describe everything again. But this time, tell us what you were thinking. I have a theory I want to test." Desperate for any clue to her identity, she was willing to wait on her questions. She closed her eyes again and concentrated. Seeing if she was hurt, assessing the situation, focusing on as many details as she could, calculating the time to impact. Being stunned and confused, it didn't kill her. Looking for threats. studying her surroundings. Getting up, but not knowing her destination. Sitting back down, closing her eyes, and trusting that her training would help her decide what to do next. Very interesting, Massasoit leaned forward. Your systematic, disciplined approach. Staying calm in a crisis. Your attention to detail. Assessing your body for injury. Knowing how to calculate time and distance in free fall. Looking for threats on the ground, referring to your training. You have a military background. Something clicked. That feels right. Although I can't tell you any more than that. And just one other thing to test another part of my theory. Osumare picked up the thin green rectangle from the table, held it by her blonde hair, put it back on the table and stared at it again. What's that all about? Weird. The unfamiliarity of everything was making her uneasy. You'll agree I've been cooperative. I really have to insist on some answers. Absolutely. The pair leaned forward. She was relieved they weren't going to play games to keep her in the dark. Where am I? You're in Norset, the black woman answered. We think it's the same place you left from. You haven't gone anywhere. Norset. That has a familiar ring to it. But the better question, Osumare continued, is when is this? She sat forward with a start. When? Yes. You've traveled into the future.